Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by His name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
Why did Jesus need to die for us? I mean, why couldn't we have just been forgiven? Why couldn't God just pardon us without Jesus going to the cross? After all, He's God. Why can't He do whatever He wants? These are questions that everyone asks, but very few have the answers to. Well, we're going to give you the very powerful answers to these very pertinent questions in just a minute. Stay tuned to Skies Revival Radio. Hi, this is Tom from the Sky Family. We're glad you could join us today. We're going to give you some very strong answers to some very strong questions. Our blessed King actually went to the cross for us. He actually took the death sentence for us. There was nothing to bind Him to do it. There was no reason He had to do it. He could have obliterated us, or He could have abandoned us to our fate. But He didn't. He really did sacrifice Himself on our behalf so that we could be released from a cruel enemy. An enemy which, for the most part, we don't even know about. So why did Jesus need to die for us? Why couldn't we just have been pardoned? Here's the answers to those questions. Let's review why Jesus had to die for us to be set free. God gave His children a command, and He told them if they disobeyed, they would die. His children didn't listen and did exactly what He told them not to do. If God simply forgave them and there was no punishment, it would mean that His word meant nothing. It would mean that in the future, they could break His laws and get away with it. The Ten Commandments would be turned into the Ten Suggestions. They would become perpetual offenders. And this is the essence of why children are so disobedient today. Their parents tell them not to do something or they'll be punished. They do exactly what they are told not to do, but instead of being punished, they're just forgiven. Their behavior is excused because they don't know any better. The forgiveness is good, and no parent stops loving their children because they disobey. But by not following through with the punishment, they are teaching their children they can disobey without any consequences. For their word to be respected in the future, they had to carry out what they said. They had to follow through with the punishment. In the same way, we, mankind that is, had to be punished in order to uphold God's word. And this is where the wisdom and the love of God is so wonderful, that Jesus himself offered to take our place at the execution. Isn't that amazing? It's unbelievable, amazing wisdom of God that he had to follow through with the punishment in order for his word to remain and his word to be upheld. But Jesus voluntarily took the punishment in our place. This is too high for us to really understand and comprehend. So the first part of Jesus' own example of picking up the cross was in literally laying down his life for us. He faced the complete death of his honor by allowing himself to be mocked and humiliated. If you think back to the last time someone made fun of you, you can remember how it burned and stung. And here he was, the king, and he was being scorned by his subjects, which he could have wiped out with a single word. Then he was subjected to cruel tortures and finally hung on a cross to endure a slow, agonizing death. All this he did for the ungrateful subjects whose own willful rebellion had put them in danger of death. But that was not all. That was just one costly decision. What led up to that picking up his cross was another aspect of dying daily. And that is, just as he has instructed us to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily, so he demonstrated it for us as an example. Jesus' earthly life from beginning to end was one complete cross. What the cross means in daily life, we're going to go over right now. We're continuing our examination of the Ten Commandments. We're going through a book called Through the Narrow Gate. And this week, we're talking about, if anyone would come after me, let him pick up his cross and follow me. And so we're going to now discuss what it means for us to pick up our cross to follow Jesus. The first item is our own agenda. Each of us has our own will and our own desires. From the time we get up until we turn out the light before bed, each one of us has our own agenda. That agenda usually or always has our own best good and desires at the bottom of it. When that agenda is interrupted, whether it's a phone call while we're watching TV, or your wife or your mother asking you to do the dishes, the reaction is predictable. Our tempers flare, or we whine, or we put it off, or we just make up an excuse, or we don't do it. That is the natural human reaction. It comes with the package of being born on earth. Its root is complete selfishness. We're doing something we like, and someone is interfering with it. When Jesus said, that we were slaves of sin, that's what he meant. Our selfishness is not something we want to give up, and our dealings with those around us flow from that selfish mindset. When it comes to those we live with, it can get very ugly indeed. Jesus demonstrated a radical break from human nature. He willingly gave up his own agenda in order to follow his Father's wishes. It is one thing to do that with some big project that you can work yourself up into doing, and it is completely another matter when you are interrupted on a moment-by-moment basis. That is what it means by dying daily and taking up our cross daily. To be able to be interrupted, to be able to have your agenda changed in order to accommodate someone else's desires, that is the divine nature. Jesus constantly prayed, "Not my will, Father, but your will be done." This was not just before going to his death. This was his lifestyle. It was because of the daily surrendering of his own will to God that he was able to walk one day at a time right up to the point of lying down on rough crossed timbers. This is the amazing master that we want to serve. So now, because of the grace of God and the outpouring of his Holy Spirit, we are able to walk beside that master. As he picked up his cross daily, so we can and must pick up our cross as well. We can allow him to crucify our own natural tendencies, our own selfish desires, our own personal comfort, in order that we might become true children of our Father. That crucifying process is the one absolute necessity for actually entering into the love which fulfills the heart of the law. Again, this is the narrow gate that few ever find. Love and selfishness are opposites. Where there is selfishness, no love can dwell. So we can attend church all we want, and we can talk the talk of someone who's saved, but the measure of true Christ-likeness is how we love. In order to love as he loves, the self, our self, must be put to death. What does that look like in real life? In our love for God, it means obedience. Remember, Jesus said he and the Father would make their home only with those who obeyed him. Real obedience means living for God. He must become our first and last concern of the day, and pleasing him must be the driving force of our daily life. We must be willing to make him the top priority. When God is truly first in our life, it means we are waiting for him to bring us assignments and tasks. Instead of determining to get our agenda done each day, we pray in the morning that God would accomplish his purposes through us that day. And then we look for his divine appointments. Instead of being wrapped up in our pursuits, we remember that nothing we do that day really matters at all except what is done for him. All our other work and pursuits are simply wood, hay, and stubble built on a fine golden foundation. We must actually be anticipating him to interrupt us. The other part of death to self in regard to loving God is that we must put off our own pleasure and comforts to spend some time with him. It is a small and pleasant sacrifice to spend time with the river of delights. And yet, God still blesses it as though it were really a sacrifice. I'm reminded of George Whitefield, who preached to crowds of 30 to 50,000 people throughout England and America before there even was a United States. Why did God bless his efforts so mightily? In his early days, Mr. Whitfield made it his practice to study and pray for 8 hours every day before he went out to minister. He would then often preach and teach and counsel for all that remained of the day and frequently half the night. His only complaint was he often wished there were more hours in the day. Any time you set apart to be with God, he will bless. Now let's cover loving our neighbor. Denying ourselves in regard to those around us means thinking of them rather than ourselves. This is a monumental task which requires daily and hourly crucifixion. It means when the telemarketer calls in the middle of supper, remembering it's a person that's called. They are just like you and have families and bills and needs of their own. They aren't humanoids. The telemarketer you were just rude to has to call 500 more people just like you. If they don't, they can't make their car payment or their rent. And how do you know that their mother hasn't recently been admitted to the hospital with terminal cancer? Every person on earth has trials and troubles, many of them worse than yours. What if that is the person that God specifically sent to you for a kind word? It means next time you're just settling in to watch the game and are called upon to do something for somebody, that you're willing to do it and do it without so much as exhaling loudly. Philippians 2:14 says, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may prove yourself to be blameless, innocent children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life." That is truly picking up your cross, and God is pleased to call you his son or his daughter. We always think in such grand terms, but it's the smallest things that really show what's in our heart. It means when you're called upon to do something extra at work for no extra pay, you simply do it. And you do it with a pleasant attitude, with the only reward being that you're helping someone. These are all tiny examples of taking up the cross, but these will tell the world that you are a follower of Jesus. Another way to pick up your cross daily is by bearing criticism without reacting. Each of us is criticized many times throughout the day, either by our spouse or our siblings or our children or our friends or our coworkers or our boss. Most people have a very hard time with criticism. It cuts them to the quick and makes them feel useless and unappreciated. It is most frequently dispensed by those closest to us because they feel they have the liberty to do so. That makes it worse because these are the people we really care about. Taking up Jesus' cross is the only way to have peace within the home or workplace. It means simply bearing the insult. Let's say that again. It means simply bearing the insult. Nothing on earth can be harder than doing this one thing. It requires true death to self, and that is the essence of the cross. And yet, it is demanded of us. Jesus, again, led by example, being falsely accused by the religious leaders and by his own people, Jesus opened not his mouth. He did not speak in his own defense. He did not rail against the injustice that was taking place. He was quiet. There never was a more innocent person than he, and no one who could have more loudly protested his innocence. He trusted himself into the Father's hands. It says in Hebrews 12:2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, I just want to remind you again that when Jesus said we must pick up our cross to follow him, many times we think in terms of persecution. We think of being in a country that is intolerant to Christianity, and we think about really facing death on account of Jesus. But dying daily is something for the whole body of Christ, wherever we might live. It is a daily dying to ourselves for the sake of others, for the sake of obedience to the Lord. It's putting aside our own wishes, desires, sinful pastimes, distractions, in order to serve the Lord and to serve others. This is real death to self, and this is what the Lord requires of all of his followers. I pray that you think on these things this week and go before the Lord to receive the strength to go to the cross, to die daily, so that you can truly follow after the Master. We look forward to joining with you next lesson. God bless you. We have uplifting and edifying material available on our website, skiesrevivalradio.org. The first book of the Revival Begins With You series is perhaps the most inspiring of all. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. It will help you to sort through all the noise and take you back to the genuine old-fashioned gospel that's reminiscent of George Whitfield, D.L. Moody, and Charles Spurgeon. It's available in both printed and digital formats. And our Celtic Revival CD is also available, along with our brand new CD called Courageous. All of these will lift your spirit up to the heavenlies. Please type in Skies Revival Radio and take advantage of these books and CDs, especially made to lift you up out of the miry clay and set your feet on the straight and narrow path that leads to life.
These radio programs are aired weekly all across the country and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they are supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. 887-1051, or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.
This song is from the Sky Family. It is available as a download from the Sky Family website.